Well, tipping points, or more formally, thresholds in scientific jargon, are levels of pressures beyond which the smooth response of a property of interest becomes abrupt and changes rapidly. And in the case of the Arctic, there are many tipping points, but one of them would be the minimum extent of ice. Once a system or an ecosystem or the Earth system crosses beyond a tipping point or a threshold, the changes, for instance, in the extent of ice, the rate of warming, accelerate greatly. And once the threshold has been crossed, sometimes it's very difficult to return to the original state, even if the pressure is released or reduced. And whenever that return becomes impossible, then we have already reached a point of no return. You can argue that eventually, given enough time, the system may return to its original status, but this time the timescales involved may be millenary or even millions of years, and therefore in operational timescales we have really reached a point of no return. Since we've had the measurements from satellites, which are reliable, and that's 1979, then we know that the extent of ice in the Arctic has been declining at a rate of about 3 or 4% per decade. And there are some ups and downs in this decline, but it's relatively smooth. But in the summer of 2007, something unusual occurred, and is that the minimum extent of ice in September 2007 reached the point that was expected to occur around 2050. So all of a sudden, a lot of ice was lost, and that puzzled the scientists and puzzled also the politicians. But the subsequent year, the ice extent returned to almost expectable levels. So then arguments that we had crossed a tipping point in 2007 then were argued against, and then it was said that the scientists had been crying wolf in 2007. But since there's been 3 years elapsed since 2007, then what we have observed is that the extent of ice is oscillating much more than it was in the past. So the variability in the extent of ice has greatly increased, both in the summer and the winter. And what we know from systems that show tipping points, and that may be even the economy that show tipping points and abrupt changes, is that before these tipping points are reached, then the system starts to show great variability and oscillations. So what we interpret from the signals of the recent changes in sea ice extent in the Arctic is that we have not yet crossed a tipping point, but we are very close of doing so. I would say that we should be less than a decade away from crossing this tipping point, and that at the rate of emissions of fossil fuels and the expected increase in warming, we must be within a few years from going across this tipping point. And the danger is not that the extent of ice in the Arctic will decline rapidly, but is that this one tipping point may actually set other tipping points in the Arctic in motion in a domino effect that may involve dangerous changes not only to the Arctic region but to the whole planet. We know from the history of ice cover in the planet along geological timescales that ice is a strongly nonlinear element in the Earth system. So it's one of those components that show very rapid changes, very abrupt changes and tipping points. So we expect that once the ice will be lost quickly from the Arctic and also from the shelves in Greenland, then that other forces will be set in motion. And there are many forces that will be set in motion by the loss of ice. One of them is the release of methane hydrates from the shallow continental shelves, mostly around Siberia. And those are molecules of methane that are trapped into ice in the sediments of the continental shelves and also in the permafrost on land. So if this ice melts, then this methane can be released abruptly and suddenly. And the deposits of methane that are trapped in the shallow sediments of the Arctic amount to about 5 times the greenhouse power that humans have set in motion through burning of fossil fuels. So if this 5 times what we have released in 150 years be released within a few years, then that could be detrimental to the climate system, and it could lead to very rapid warming and could again set in motion other forces, like increased freshwater discharge to the Arctic, which has already increased by 30%. And this involves a greater export of fresh water and buoyancy to the Atlantic, which may affect global circulation and global currents. And those in turn will affect regional climates. And also farther south to the Arctic in the subarctic region, then warmer temperatures are leading to dieback of the boreal forest. And also the peat deposits in the boreal region are drying up to the extent that they can catch fire. And I think that the fires we saw in Russia last summer are a warning that this level of dryness in the peatlands may be reached. And if those peatlands are set in fire, not only in Russia, but also in Canada, then the emissions of CO2 to the atmosphere can be, again, enormous. Well, unfortunately, society is far more mobilized by opportunities than they are by risks. So the discourses and warnings of risks actually almost lead to inaction by society, whereas the sight of opportunities encourages society to set themselves into motion. So the opportunities for economic growth in the Arctic have dominated the discourse and the actions by society and policymakers, and those opportunities are new navigation routes across the Arctic and the exploitation of oil, gas, and fishery resources that were not accessible just a few years ago. But there is a paradox in this, in that the Arctic countries recognizes that the forces that are improving access to these resources is actually climate change, and that the reason for this climate change is that the burning of fossil fuels by humans, and Arctic nations themselves are responsible for 26% of the release of these greenhouse gases. And taking into these opportunities will involve greater emissions of greenhouse gases, because we're talking about oil and gas deposits and more navigation through the Arctic. So there's a paradox in the alleged concern of the nations of climate change and the opportunities they're seeking, which will lead to release of more greenhouse gases. And I think that there should be a balance between the economic growth that these opportunities can bring about and the economic losses that the risks that we were discussing earlier may bring about, and which I don't think have been quantified.